Hopefully Marilyn will be able to, and or Amadeo will be able to join us shortly. I wanted to, just as an agenda today, first of all, just talk a little bit about process from here out. Was the report is due on Friday. I think we're in pretty good shape, but just want to talk about next steps as we get there. And then secondly, I'd like to just dive in. We've had a number of edits contributed over the past few days. And just to make sure that we're comfortable and there's not further work we need to do around them, or at least to identify any additional editing that needs to take place prior to the completion of the report. Does anyone else have anything we'd like to discuss on the call? Okay, great. So in terms of process from here on out, as I mentioned earlier, we've had a number of contributed edits over the past few days, and I am about halfway through the document incorporating those edits in. Unfortunately, I was away from email throughout the weekend, so I wasn't able to begin work until this morning. So my hope is to have a version of the document with all of the agreed upon edits incorporated no later than close of business East Coast time today, so about 5 or 6 p.m. Eastern time, get that submitted back out to the group for everyone to look at, and if there's any additional editing that needs to take place, have that handled on list tomorrow, and then about the same time tomorrow, distribute what will hopefully be a final version of the initial report to be voted upon. And we'll vote by email, wrapping up voting on Thursday, and this report will be distributed to the council with the results of the vote on Friday. Does that sound reasonable to everyone? Any thoughts on the process? Excellent. Must be a very good process then. So we will use that as a framework going ahead. So what I'd like to use this call for is to discuss each of the areas that we have seen edits so far. I'm going to assume, at least in terms of leading the call, that people don't have problems with areas that they have not proposed any changes to. If that's a bad assumption, please let me know if you're planning on, if you'd like to contribute an additional edit during the course of the day, or want to discuss a topic that hasn't been discussed on list, let me know. So,
Jordan, this is Kathy. Do you want to step through it section by section?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to step through section by section of which there's been edits contributed, or comments contributed. And if people do have topics that they want to raise on other sections, just let me know. So the first section, 1.1, well, first of all, there's an introduction that unfortunately I have not written yet. I will commit to get that done by the time the draft goes out today, so everyone will have a chance to review and take a look at that in the context of the ability to add some more edits tomorrow if there's uncomfortable text. I'm trying to write something fairly generic and neutral and just to sort of lead the reader into the report. But then 1.1, Thomas has contributed a lot of edits to 1.1. And I don't know, I don't think Marilyn's been able to join us yet to react to them, but I don't know if have others on the call had a chance to review Thomas's edits, and is there any controversy around them?
This is Steve Metalitz. I've looked through them, and I'm not sure. There are some omissions that he's pointing out, I think. And then there's some language that he is suggesting taking out. I'm not sure if there are omissions. Obviously, they should be filled. But I wasn't sure why, for example, he wanted to delete all of the discussion.
I can't hear Steve.
I just wasn't sure why why the proposal was made to delete most of the discussion of the survey from the 2002 task force and some of the discussion of the of what was in the consensus provisions, the consensus recommendations. This is like, well, it's in like the fourth paragraph.
If I could please speak to this, Thomas here. A major portion of the changes was an attempt to clarify the text and make it more precise with respect to the consensus policy consensus policies from the old task force. I have tried to replace the kind of vague discussion that was in the previous text by a precise list of the policies that were actually in the report. And a lot of the other changes really has a purpose to address factual errors that had gone in there. For instance, here steering group had nothing at all to do with the WHO's workshops in Montreal and Tunis, and we should not be claiming credit for that, things like that. So concerning the omission about the survey, what I struck was the description of the survey as consisting of 19 multiple choice questions and one free-form question. I don't think that this is information that really helps to understand anything about the policy discussion. And then again, well, if you also went through it, the description would also be inaccurate. So if we are talking about what was in the survey, we would have to go into more detail. So my suggestion to remove that and just say there was a survey, period.
And add the link to the link to the.
I'm not suggesting to remove any links to previous material. If that happens, yeah. If that has happened in the course of my editing, please insert footnotes as appropriate.
Okay. I haven't been through it line by line, so I don't know if that's happened. But I think as long as the link is there and people can look for themselves.
Yeah, I think that's right. As I've been looking through Thomas's edit, Steve, I think that. It looks like, for example, I mean, he does omit the references to the number of questions in the survey, but as I was editing, I thought that was actually fairly helpful. The link's pretty long, and it doesn't add a whole lot of sort of useful content, especially since there's a link to the survey. And then the second section is where there's a lot of sort of crossed out stuff. It actually just gets summarized in sort of a more concise format that Thomas has put together. Now,
this is Kathy. I wanted to add.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Are we done with this? I don't want to get in the way of this discussion, but I do want to add something before we leave the section.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay. One was just something I mentioned on a prior call, which is, first, I found Thomas's edit that did make it a little clearer. This is hard stuff. Also, that I think this is, I mentioned earlier that when we refer to it as the task force, I think we're getting confused between this task force and the old task force. And just, I think we should put in some kind of contractual type language that says, you know, earlier task force, later, you know, current task force, something like that, just to help skimmers. The other thing is, I went back and took a look at some of the links and some of the material. There was a minority report. It was written by the NCUC and EPIC. So I'll just send you, I have to go back and take a look at it. I thought I'd send you a line or two, Jordan, just to go in to note that there was a minority report. Of this earlier WHO is task.
Right, yeah, so that you would say that would go in, like, the recommendation section, like, after the text about the recommendations, there was also a minority report submitted that disagreed with these findings or something like that?
Yeah, I have to check and see to what extent it disagreed and which findings it disagreed with, but yeah, exactly, right at the very end.
Okay. Yeah, so I think that seems reasonable to me, and I've actually, Kathy, one thing that you'll notice, everyone, is that every once in a while I will make some sort of editorial changes. I did in the last draft, and you'll see some here as well, where I'm just trying to clean things up and make them a little clearer. And one example of that is I have throughout this section referred to this task force as the initial task force to make it a little clearer that it's not doesn't refer to us, just for a casual reader.
So, Jordan, you may also want to kind of lay that out and clarify that under the introduction so that, you know, for further clarification, they know exactly what.
Yeah, I've been trying. I've actually, it is a little dense right now. So I have been, but I'll take like I said, I think Thomas's text clarifies it some. I've also made some other minor editorial changes, I think. But hopefully by the time you see all this tonight, it'll be a fairly easy read and make some sense. But that's a good point, Maggie. Any other comments on 1-1? Okay, great. So 1-2, once again, Thomas has contributed some edits here, and in particular, this is, Thomas, where you made the point that about the Rio meeting. Is that right?
Yes, I'm afraid I still have to look that up. I actually did the edit on the train ride without much internet access. I believe we should have, I can do that, or you can do it, Jordan, a brief look at the council minutes from Rio where the issues report received from Louis Touton was discussed, and where I think it was Rio, I'm not entirely sure actually, but whatever meeting it was where this issues report was discussed and where the way forward was essentially decided. I think some of the description in the original, of the discussion that was in the original text actually seemed to refer to that meeting without spelling it out. But maybe precise to that. Brief summary there.
It's Marilyn. Sorry I'm late. I'm not able to get online earlier.
Hey, welcome, Marilyn. So, Thomas, you're just saying that in 1.2 there should be a discussion that in the Rio meeting of the council that the issues report was discussed and the idea of initiating the PDP, particularly with some privacy elements, was adopted. Is that what you're saying?
I believe that was. I have to say I'm not entirely sure about the. The sequence of events here, so we should check it, but I seem to recall that we had discussions about setting up that process in Rio, and that's the steering group, I believe, first met in Montreal.
Okay.
So we should probably have a look, just have another look at the process that led to the steering committee and add a concise description of that.
And Jordan, I'm happy to go back and add that. Thomas's chronology and remind you about that is certainly correct. I didn't mean to leave that out. I'm happy to add that back.
Okay, great. Yeah, so if either of you, I mean, Thomas...
I'm just getting the facts straight.
Yeah, or Marilyn, want to just, you know, write a short...
Too many meetings, too many conferences, so I think everybody is confused by now.
Yeah. So other than that, Thomas had some other... also you made Thomas a comment about the who is steering committee was not involved in the workshops in Rome,
yeah.
Or somewhere in Tunisia, is that?
Yeah, Thomas, let me follow up with Glenn. I think we just need to be factual and so we can follow up and figure out how the first one was planned by the committee that Paul developed, but let me follow up with Glenn and go through the history of what led to the preparation of the Tunis workshop.
Well, Marilyn, let me put it like this. If the steering committee had been preparing that one, I would probably know about the preparations of that workshop. I don't know about them, so...
Yeah, Thomas, I'm not disagreeing with...
Okay,
so it sounds like there's some remaining edits to be done. Marilyn, just you weren't on the call earlier when we talked about process from this point out, but what we had talked about was having a goal of getting a revised draft out to everyone by sort of end of the day today, East Coast time, so that then people can perhaps suggest any final additional revisions to it tomorrow and then submit another version of a draft sort of end of day tomorrow, with the intent being to then vote on that draft over the subsequent couple of days. What do you think you'll be able, you'll have an opportunity to address those issues and get some new text to me today?
I'll do it tonight.
Okay.
I just want to point out, because, and probably undoubtedly already made this point, we need to focus on voting on the recommendation. You know, the text is actually background. It drops out at some point in terms of its real, you know, it helps to inform people. But our real priority has got to become a focus on the recommendation. I'm sure people have already said that.
Yeah, I do agree with that as a general principle, but obviously, you know, we want to make sure people are as comfortable as possible with the entire report. So, okay, so moving on. Unless does anyone else have comments on 1.2? Just to okay, moving on. The next section that there's been some commentary on is 1.4. With Kathy once again raising the issue of what's the word I'm thinking of, Kathy?
Uniformity.
Sorry. And I think let me propose something here that hopefully won't be controversial, which is I'd like to just add to revise the section a little bit, and it actually doesn't change it very much at all, but just to essentially have a bullet for each of the recommendations that are made in section 3 of the report. And I don't think there is a specific recommendation on uniformity at present, so perhaps we could add some text about just the desirability of uniformity in general to not to the bulleted list, but to the discussion in the sort of paragraph format up above. I'm not quite sure how to work that in, but. Does that seem like a reasonable approach?
I'm not sure we've discussed uniformity that much. I understand it's been discussed by other task forces. I don't, maybe I missed a call, but I'm not sure we discussed it that much. I'll be adding something to the collection of data section, I think, about uniformity, and that it kind of depends on your starting point. If you start with all this data, then uniformity isn't to be desired because you're already starting in conflict with a number of national laws. So it just depends on your starting point. But I like the idea of including a bullet for each recommendation. That makes sense to me.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, this gets back to a point I made on the last call, which is by and large the overall direction that recommendations, I mean, with the exception of the local law recommendation, which creates a specific exception, and we could speak to that, I think, in the relevant section. But by and large, the recommendations we make, because they encourage sort of a fixed policy across registries or registrars or whoever's implementing them, lead to improved uniformity as sort of a necessary result of their implementation.
Yeah, I guess this is Maggie, I don't understand, is it a problem with that word? Because, I mean, what are we trying to say that we don't want uniformity? What is it that is an issue here? I guess I'm not understanding why we don't want to say we want all the registries and the registrars to have the same who has policy, and we don't want everyone who has the same use of data, the same information posted, to be treated in the same manner. What is the problem that we're trying to solve?
I think we're missing a nuance, and let me, more than a nuance, a really important concept. Let me read to you what the European Data Protection Commissioner said in their Article 29 working party paper, and then maybe, you know, we can, you know, somebody out there has some suggestion for how to combine their concept and this general notion of uniformity that I'm not sure is good in and of itself. But what the Article 29 guy said is, quote, "It is essential to limit the amount of personal data to be collected and processed. This should be kept particularly in mind when discussing the wishes of some parties to increase the uniformity of diverse WHIS directories. So that uniformity isn't the principle in and of itself. It's uniformity if the data is consistent with what, say, the majority of countries in the ICANN process or the majority of countries in which the ICANN registries are located. If the data is consistent with their laws.
Jordan, I have a question.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I'm sorry. You said the guy from the Article 29 Working Group.
No, the Article 29 Working Group itself. All the European data protection officials signed on to this, and it's translated into like 14 or 11 languages.
The Article 29 Working Group doesn't have a specific. I mean, this is the. I mean, we all know, or those of us who work in the privacy area know, that there are a number of groups who have responsibility for privacy in Europe, and the Article 29 Working Group is one of the groups. But I'm still concerned about the issue of, and maybe uniformity is a word that we should set aside and focus on what I think some of us at least think is needed, and that is as much consistency as possible. Consistency for the user, consistency for the registrant, consistency for the registrar if they're in the position of implementing a system that has to support diverse implementations. We could be adding cost or and if not cost in the database itself, we may be adding cost in the customer service aspect that they have to bear.
I don't quite frankly care if we call it uniformity or consistency or whatever, but even if we're to accept Kathy's notion of the influence of the Article 29 Working Party, I didn't hear anything in what she said that, or the section that she read, that would say that disparity is a good thing or that treatment of data in an inconsistent manner is a good thing. I'm not understanding what the problem is. Recommending that there be some kind of uniformity or consistency or, you know, pick a word to fill in the blank that is a similar notion.
Thomas here. Could I please get on the queue?
Yeah. Thomas, anyone else want to speak to this? And we're going to have to keep this discussion fairly brief, just in the interest of getting to the rest of the report. Okay, go ahead, Thomas.
I'm actually also a little bit concerned about this uniform implementation of WHIS policy by all registrars, actually, because we are actually introducing this bullet point as a change to current WHIS policy that makes up the final recommendations of this task force. So this bullet point is actually implying that current WHIS policy does not require uniform implementation of WHIS policy by all registrars. That seems to be a fairly interesting statement to me. It seems we are talking about policies that should be binding to registrars and registries by virtue of their agreement, and now we're suddenly saying we really mean it, and we didn't mean it in the last task force. This sends strange signals in my view, so I think I would rather strike this from any section that describes policies. We are saying you shall be bound to actually implement what we are saying. This is circular. It doesn't make sense from the point of view of current policy environment, and I think it's also dangerous in making a strange pronouncement about the current policy environment. I think it's just in the wrong place there as a policy recommendation. It doesn't fit.
George, yeah, let me
bounce. Could I get in the queue?
Yeah, sure, Steve. Let me make one quick. Steve, go ahead, and then I'm going to, I think, propose a way out of this.
Well, it's just briefly that this was a major topic that was discussed in the previous, earlier, initial, whatever adjective task force, and it is an implementation problem, as this says. The registrars are all supposed to follow the same policy, but in practice they don't, and so that's I think what this is driving at, and again, whether it's called uniformity or consistency, I think it is an important feature.
Yeah, so let me propose this. I think, you know, as I mentioned before, we don't have a specific... This is supposed to be an overview of recommendations. We don't have a specific recommendation that relates to consistency or uniformity. But I think it seems to me reasonable I'll certainly volunteer to take a stab at adding some language to the text above the bullet points that indicates that we want to that
once the right balance of privacy and contactability is achieved, uniformity is the right way to go.
Well, I think Kathy, I'll be able to craft text that even you'll be happy with it, that indicates that the desire of the policies is to create some sense of consistent expectations on behalf of everyone in the community in terms of what to expect when they go into the who is regime. And I think we've specifically carved out an exception with regards to national law that actually mitigates against that. And so there's some balancing that needs to be done in the text. But Maggie, are you okay if the general principle gets moved up into the paragraph above it instead of being a bullet point here, and the bullets essentially summarize the specific recommendations we're making?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue over bullet point replacements. I'd certainly like to see what you come up with, and I appreciate you trying to work it in. But just, you know, I guess my view is that if we're working all this, spending all this time, all these people are putting in all this effort to make something better, but it's not going to be one of the major problems is not going to be improved, then, you know, it would be nice for me to know that and for the ISP to know that, because we certainly would not be wasting our time on something that is not going to be followed where it can across the registries and the registrars.
Right, and I think that's the key, is that the intention of these recommendations is that they be binding, and I think by their very nature they lead to greater consistency and uniformity.
That was certainly my understanding.
Yeah, so I think it's not hard to reconcile that notion with some text that I'll draft.
Jordan, you may even be able to work it in and pull it on the local law provision, because we have as our recommendation that there should be a procedure that resolves conflicts in the manner most conducive to stability and uniformity of the who is system. So that may be where it fits.
That's actually an excellent point, Steve. I'll take that into consideration. But I'll take it under as one of my tasks in editing this today to get something to rejigger this a little bit, to try to indicate we haven't actually adopted a specific finding, a specific policy recommendation that leads in and of itself to greater uniformity, but that the general result of adopting all of these and then the intent of the task force is that they be adopted consistently. Any other comments on 1.4? Great. And now skipping to 2.4, because I think it's the next place that there's been edits or commentary. And here, I take it Kathy and Steve had a discussion over the weekend and settled on some new text that makes them happy. Steve sent that to the list this morning, I think.
Yeah.
And
what I sent out was the bullets, basically, what the findings would be. And then also, I think Kathy and I agreed, obviously this doesn't speak for the whole task force, but that there should be a sentence that says 3.4, that there's no recommendations being made, since there was no agreement on this. I think what's left open is what precedes these bullets, and I had suggested that I had drafted a sentence that summarized the input, which was that some people thought there should be fewer data elements, some people thought there should be more, and some people thought that, you know, the forage was just right, and with links to those submissions, and I think Kathy's view was instead there should be a summary or a characterization of those submissions. I think the first would be more efficient, but I think if Kathy feels strongly about it, then you know, she's already written up a summary of the submissions that said there are too many data elements, and I can provide you, Jordan, later today, a summary of the ones that say something different. But I do think it would be more efficient just to have one sentence that summarizes it and let people look at the links for themselves.
Yeah, I'm personally open to either approach as well. I know both Kathy and Thomas have indicated some desire to have some more substantial text here, and I just want to, I guess, check in with them and see if that's still the case.
Yeah, this is Kathy. It doesn't have to be as lengthy as what I drafted, you know, but, yeah, I think we should, in every other section, we've summarized what we received, and here we received a lot of material. So I think it's worth talking about just so people know, and including the links as well. But that's kind of our job here as drafters, I think, is to provide the overviews.
Yeah, so, sure. Well, why don't maybe a compromise between the two, Kathy, is something you hinted at, which is do you think it's possible to condense your summary down to, I don't know, a paragraph with, you know, six or seven sentences, and then we can ask Steve to do the same as a point and counterpoint, I guess. And I think that the ISPs and the IPCs were the only constituencies that spoke specifically. Maryland, did the BC speak specifically to whether all the data fields should continue to be gathered?
We did.
You did? Okay, so the ISPs, the IPC, and the BC all had a view on that as well.
There were half a dozen other submissions on it. We could put this into six or seven sentence paragraph.
Great. And Kathy, do you think it's possible you can condense yours down to that?
Before the end of the day. Oh.
Yep. Before the end of the day.
I'd probably do two paragraphs.
Okay.
Down from 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right. Okay, yeah, see what you can do to keep it...
The first paragraph, though, is just an introduction asking what the question, talking about what the question was. So I think we should keep that just because it gives a background to what it is that's being collected, what opinions there are. Steve, do you have any problem keeping the first paragraph that just says what the council asked the TF2 to collect? What changes, if any, should be made in the data elements?
I'm sorry, Kathy, which paragraph is that?
Which paragraph are you talking about here?
I drafted a new paragraph to start section 2.4 that just gives an introduction to...
Oh, yeah, in the description of work the GNSO Council asked TF2.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just proposing we keep that.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll work that. I'll either leave it as is or figure out how to work it into the... first paragraph, some of the words that Steve already has there. So, okay, so I'll look for something from Kathy, and I guess Marilyn and Maggie, are you guys comfortable with Steve just writing up a couple of paragraphs that you think is likely to represent the sort of counterpoint to Kathy's summary here?
Yeah, certainly comfortable with him drafting it. Of course, when we take a look, and it's...
Yeah, we do still have a further opportunity to look at it tomorrow. I just want to make sure we don't want to get a...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But Jordan, I'm fine with that, but I want to go back to 2.3. I have a question about that.
Sorry, to which section, Marilyn?
2.3.
2.3, sure.
2.3 has a paragraph that reads, and it's the second full paragraph, and it's probably the second sentence, and it says, the task force nevertheless views it as proof that there is certainly a risk of conflict between a registrar's or registry's legal obligations under local privacy law and the contractual obligations to ICAM. I agree that the task force noted that there have been some examples of that, and they have been called to the task force's attention. But I think that it is proven that there is certainly a risk of conflict is a very strong statement that indicates we've done much more validation than we have.
I would be happier with the task force nevertheless views that there is certainly a risk of conflict. And then on later to talk about the .name instance, I think that Thomas Keller has referenced German law as well, but I don't think we have substantiated through in an extensive documented way this. That's been one of our challenges. We tried to do what we could, but it has been one of our challenges.
Yeah, sure. That seems like a reasonable edit to me.
I don't know. We've got a lot of material. We heard from George Papapavlou. We've got Article 29 Working Group. We've got the International Data Protection Commissioners.
Kathy,
and we've got that name as changed, that there is, as though it was a proven conflict.
I agree. We have comments by either George was making a presentation. He was not speaking in official capacity representing the European Commission's position. We always have a challenge when we deal with government officials on, you know, being able to take input from them and realizing that there are, I think that one of the challenges that we face, and I can't face this, is the way that countries apply national law to something is it varies from country to country.
Yeah, I would. This is Steve Metalis. I would support Marilyn's edit, and you know, this, throughout this whole section, I think we need to focus on whether there's a real conflict. I think what we're saying is there is a risk of a conflict, and perhaps .name is an example, but. People can give as many speeches as they want. If they have enforcement authority from and they're a data protection commissioner, they can bring something to a head as a real conflict. They have done so in perhaps one case, so I don't think we should overstate what the degree of proof is here. And similarly, I would suggest in the following paragraph where we talk about the exceptions, it's not, the sentence now says, get this exception if you prove the existence of a regulation. And in fact, it should only be if you show the existence of a conflict. Because there could be many regulations out there, but how, as Marilyn said, how they're interpreted and applied by national authorities is really the key.
And, you know, guys, I just point to all of you as an example, the Safe Harbor that was negotiated with the U.S. The initial appearance was that there was going to be a complete stop on the transfer of all data. And in fact, that is not what has happened. There has been an adjustment and a workaround and a way that data has been allowed to keep flowing once certain other behavioral steps are taken and contractual identification is taken. So we don't want to be, you know, we're trying to do our best as volunteers to substantiate this, but we don't want to be getting ahead of where government is either.
Yeah, so I will...
No. A risk of conflict's like a risk of rain. It's more than a risk of conflict. We've got conflict. And we go on in the next sentence to show it.
Right. Well, I think perhaps a way to reconcile the two views is to suggest that there have been examples like .name where we believe conflict may have occurred, and also that there is an ongoing risk, a risk of ongoing conflict. But I mean, the fact of the matter is there's no logical difference between proving that there is certainly a risk and that there is certainly that there's a risk. those actually mean the exact same thing. It's just it's a question of the strength of the language around them. So I think if we draft the sentence in a way that to maybe bring the previous one up first and say, here's an example of where, you know, a conflict may have existed in the past, and on an ongoing basis we believe that there that this may happen again, and so we've drafted up a policy to address those situations.
Anybody mind including a reference to a number of CCTLDs that have changed their privacy policies in response to national law?
Kathy.
I mean, just a line. That's more proof that we've seen some responsiveness.
I guess, Kathy, let me ask you this. Why, I mean, the end result of this is a policy recommendation that provides an exception for national law that I think that we have pretty strong consensus on in the task force. So given that, does it, I mean, we're basically adopting a policy that indicates if a conflict arises, there's a mechanism to deal with it. So I'm not sure, is it important that we say that it's definitely going to happen in the future, or we think it's only that there's a risk that this policy will be invoked in the future?
You're very good at language. Maybe take out proven and risk and see what happens. Because I don't know.
I think I understand. Once again, I'll try to draft something here, and it's a little hard without having specific language here. I think I understand the point that Marilyn and Steve have made, and your concerns as well, Kathy. So I'll try to draft something clever up. Any other comments on 2.3? But Steve, I'll also, I think your point is on the next paragraph sort of makes sense as well, so I'll make an editorial change there as well. Okay, 2.5. I'm going to take the opportunity here to thank Kathy and Steve for spending a lot of time on this over the past week. I'm trying to get some text that hopefully will be agreeable to everyone in the task force. Kathy has sent out to the list some revised text for 2.5 that she worked out with Steve, and it looks reasonable to me. I'm hoping it looks reasonable to everyone else that's on the call as well. Any comments on that? Okay, good job, guys. I'm jumping forward to 3.4. Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
Under possible balances, this is an area where, assuming, if I just look at it, it has a reference to the registries, registrars, non-commercial, the ALAC, but it skips contribution of the IPC, the BC, and the ISPCP. I can't speak to the other two in detail, but this is an area where we again, and I'm consistent with the earlier comment, the BC called for keeping all the data elements and displaying them. So we should include, if we're going to list what each of the constituencies did, we should be inclusive of all the constituencies.
Sorry, I'm just trying to figure out exactly.
It's under possible balances, and that is where I thought we were, I was confused. I thought that's what we were talking about earlier.
Possible balances in 2.5, is that what you're speaking
about?
Yeah. In the new text that?
Right.
Which paragraph in possible balances?
The second one. Well, it's the first. The first one describes the registry and the registrars. The second one describes the non-commercial use ALAC.
Okay, I understand. So you think that there you want a sentence or paragraph or something indicating that the BC has indicated in their constituency statement that they want a system that sort of retains the status quo in terms of data display?
Right. I think if we're going to analyze, present the position of some of the constituencies, we should address all who have addressed the issue.
Marilyn, Steve drafted the last paragraph. What you're saying is appropriate.
So Marilyn, would it be appropriate for me to, or if you want to, but someone to add a sentence or two to the last paragraph, maybe indicating the view of the business constituency?
Second paragraph, but not the last paragraph. The last, it wouldn't. Are you thinking it fits under the last paragraph? Because the last paragraph is about a different topic.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, so we could add it to the second paragraph.
And I'm happy to send a sentence in, but I don't know what the ISP
Yeah, Maggie, if you have something that you'd like to add on for the ISPs, why don't you? But Marilyn, can I just ask you to email me whatever text you want to add here, and I'll...
I will.
I'll be glad to do it.
And I'll do the same.
Okay.
Jordan, on 3.5, can I point out two brackets that Steve and I left as questions for the group?
Not yet, because we're not there yet. But in just a minute, you can. Do we have any...
2.5, okay.
On 2.5 or 3.5, is that what you're speaking to? Yeah, we'll get to 3.5 in just a minute.
Okay.
Do we have anything else on 2.5? If not, and if no one else has anything to discuss on 3.1 through 3.3, I'm going to jump to 3.4, which doesn't exist right now.
Wait, 3.3. I'm sorry, we're still in the twos, right?
Yeah, I'm just about to start jumping into the threes.
Never mind.
Okay, so I'm jumping to 3.4, which currently does not exist.
I think the recommendation from Kathy and me was that there should just be a sentence saying the task force is making a recommendation in this area.
Right. So I'm certainly comfortable with that. I can't imagine that being particularly controversial.
I can hear you, though, Steve. So 3.4 would say what?
3.4 would say that the task force is making no recommendation in this area at this time or something like that. This is on changing the data elements.
Got it.
Okay, I'll add that. Okay, so now we can move on to 3.5.
Did we skip 3.3?
I did skip 3.3. Do you want to talk about 3.3?
Yes, please.
Okay, we'll jump back to 3.3.
Okay. There's a line in the first paragraph that says, the goal of the procedure should be to resolve the conflict in the manner most conducive to stability and uniformity of the WHOA system. I think we should delete the word most. Because I think that creates a value judgment of national law versus ICANN system. This relates back to our general discussion of uniformity. I think it should be conducive to stability and uniformity, but also to national policy, particularly in personal data.
What if we added most consistent with stability and uniformity of the WHOA system, consistent with national law?
I think we should delete the word most.
Anyone else?
So we'll just say in a manner conducive?
Instead.
Yep.
So Steve, it would read, the goal of the procedure should be to resolve the conflict in a manner conducive
to stability and uniformity. Okay.
You okay with that, Steve?
Most conducive is better, but I'm not
dug in
on that.
Great. Second, thanks. The second would be the transition between the two procedures. I'm still uncomfortable with the directing, and I'd be interested in what David Maher has to say. Currently the language says, and I thought we'd taken it out, but it's here again, except in those cases arising from a formal complaint by a local law enforcement authority that will not permit consultation with ICANN prior to the resolution of the complaint under local law, and then it initiates kind of a procedure that invites lots of people to participate. it seems to me that registries and registrars should be allowed to respond to their local law enforcement and also kind of their equivalent of Federal Trade Commission officials, the data protection officials, as they see appropriate, without demands to bring in ICANN at certain points. They should certainly notify ICANN, but this seems to be very specific language. I think we should change it and say kind of where appropriate, ICANN should be notified and there should be a consultation.
Kathy, it's Marilyn. This provides the thing that we have talked about, that is, if a registrar or registry a contact, someone's moving something around. If someone gets a formal complaint or contact by the local law enforcement authority that prevents them from that precludes consultation with ICANN prior to the resolution, if that happens, then the registrar or registry would immediately begin to dialogue with the local law enforcement or counterpart to the FGC. But if that's not the case, why would they not both notify ICANN, which is what they're asked to do in bullet one, and engage in consultation regarding a resolution of the problem? ICANN is, after all, the contracting party, and at some point the registry or registrar is going to have to come back to ICANN in order to get a modification in their contract, as .name had to do.
But here there's a formal action going on. David, are you still on, by the way? Here it seems to me we're positing a formal action. There's a formal complaint. One reason you might not go to ICANN before finishing the complaint is, say, you've only got a few days to respond. It seems to me we're really talking about a situation. Say a data protection official raises general questions short of a formal action, then sure, go ahead, start the consultation process. But if you're in a formal action with a law enforcement or government agency, it seems to me you should have the discretion to do what you need to do with the law enforcement group.
Kathy, maybe I've just let me make a quick comment then Steve. Kathy, maybe I've just excised the I edited Thomas or Steve's draft pretty heavily to try to just make this shorter, but the intent of the language is exactly what you're suggesting, which is, except in the cases where there is a formal complaint, you have to do this. If there is a formal complaint, you don't have to do this.
Then let's delete the language that says that will not permit consultation with ICANN prior to the resolution under local law. That's imposing a condition.
I just want to get back.
So, let me just add one other point to Kathy. Kathy, this language, I mean, I'm glad to listen to what David has to say, but Tom, on behalf of the registrars, has accepted this language, and I don't think we need to go too far out of our way to look out for their best interest when they've accepted the nature of the proposal. So, I'd look to David to see if the registries have problems with it, but I don't want to go too far out, having the task force protect constituencies more than they feel they need to be protected.
And data subjects, too. Okay,
Steve and then Marilyn.
Yeah, I was just going to say first, the key word here is accept, which I would ask Kathy to look at the impact of that word on this formulation. And secondly, I think this, as far as I understand it, just very closely describes what .name did. And .name is your poster child for the claim that there's widespread conflict. So this is what .name did. What was wrong with what .name did?
Okay, Marilyn?
I think actually you and Steve have covered my point.
Oh, this is David.
Okay, David.
I'm flattered that my name is being taken in vain here. It doesn't seem very important to me. I think we're wasting a lot of time on it. The fact is, if a registry gets an inquiry from law enforcement, in most cases, you're going to have to deal with law enforcement first. And obviously, if it's appropriate to notify ICANN, you'll do it. And law enforcement in any instance is going to take priority. But I, as I say, my real comment on this is, why in God's name are we spending all the time on this?
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, let's do that then. 3.5. Okay, so here once again, Kathy and Steve have forwarded some text that is mutually agreeable to the two of them at least, although Kathy, you indicate there's two places where there's be flagged for the constituency's attention.
Yeah, real fast, there's under 3.5 publication of data recommendations, there is a D now, D as in dog. Those seeking access to protected information should identify themselves in a verifiable manner. Once identified, the user would be issued a portable credential rather than needing to verify their identity on a registrar-by-registrar or even a registry-by-registry basis. The proposed addition, and I flag it because I wasn't sure whether, you know, this is for others to talk about as well. The proposed addition is all registries and registrars would be or should be obligated to honor this credential.
Okay.
Jordan, I just have one comment that I made in a previous call, and I'm going to make it again. We need to be very careful in our recommendations that we are not calling for a monopoly provider of a solution in authentication or verification. That is a very sensitive issue, and so we need to adhere to language which may be you know, standards-based or widely accepted standards or something of that nature, because certainly there are parties who would see something like this as the way to establish a monopoly advantage for themselves by having a mandated single solution. I know that's not our goal, but we could even deal with that in a footnote. We don't have to put it in the body of the presentation.
Thanks, Marilyn. And that actually, when I first drafted the summary of the points that we had agreed upon it and not, I actually had written this in a way that I think even more strongly lent itself to such an interpretation. And I think that's largely been edited out. But I think we may not want to add this requirement to honor a specific credential until we have a better understanding of what that looks like, so we can make sure that it's not imposing any tendency towards monopolistic practices.
All right, could I get in the queue then, Steve?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Anyone else want to speak to this?
So would this system work if every registrar imposed its own method of deciding who would have access to the protected tier?
No.
I think it would not. And
no.
All that this sentence is trying to say is that it's not saying that only one entity could issue the credential, but that once a credential is issued that meets, and I agree with Marilyn's point entirely, she may want to make some reference to standards-based or something, but once the credential is issued, every registrar and registry would respond to it. That, I think, is the only way that such a system could really work. So that's all that I was trying to get at with this sentence.
Any other comments on this? Do we have any specific, are people comfortable with this addition?
I think maybe we could just add a footnote, George, that says the court recognizes that the credentials should be able to be provided by multiple competitive sources or something. Just say something about the that we're not calling for a monopoly on the
on the credentialing.
Okay, thanks. Any other thoughts?
Can I move on to something else in 3.5?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
No other comments.
The last thing is the last change that we kind of flagged for the task force, Steve and I, was 3.5. Once you go through the principles A through F, there's a paragraph that says, however, the task force also identified several questions. The first one being A, what process of notification to registrants, and we added if any, should take place when their protected data is accessed other than in circumstances required by law. And we flagged the law or contract because we were both trying to figure out what or contract meant. And I know Thomas and I believe Jordan have clearer ideas. So we flagged that for maybe some more descriptive language.
Sure. I'll explain what I intended when I first wrote that, and then Thomas could perhaps elaborate as well. But there are certain circumstances in which, and registrar to registrar, sort of the tier three notion of registrar to registrar transfers. UDRP panelists is another example of where there's no actual legal, there's no law or regulation that requires access, but there's a contractual obligation in the ICANN regime to provide that information to UDRP panelists. So those are the examples that I was trying to refer to when I drafted the language, and I think that's what Thomas was referring to as well.
You want to put in a parenthesis, e.g., comma UDRP panels? Steve, would that help?
Well, the concern I had, unless Thomas has something he wants to say, but the concern I had was that right now, the access is required by contract because the registrar has to make this available and, in fact, has to obtain the consent of the registrant to this access. So maybe it would be helpful to put in an EG here to show that we're not talking about that contractual obligation. We're talking about one such as with a UDRP provider, if I understand it correctly.
That's exactly the. I think that would be helpful here. And obviously one of the, I think, Steve, if at some point in the future a tiered access system were adopted, presumably there would be contractual changes would have to take place in order to support that. So maybe that existing requirement would go away. I don't know.
I think EG would be a good way to handle it.
Yep. So I'll add an EG here in order to clarify. Does anyone else have comments or issues or questions about the proposed 3.5 prepared by Kathy and Steve?
Ah, okay.
Is that a yes?
Sorry, that was an unmuted phone.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Thomas. Great. Well, I'm going to hope that means everyone's happy with it. Let's see. Oh, and also the last section I'd like to skip to then is, well, there's two others I'd like to briefly touch on. First is number four, where I think, Marilyn, you had indicated some time ago you might want to add something regarding CRISP here. In the other issues section?
Yeah, I think that was back in the days when I thought we needed to hear from folks on how advanced CRISP was and if it in fact did provide solutions. I was, due to the shortness of the announcement, not able to participate in the conference call, so I can't really add much to what the discussion was about CRISP and its capability. But the purpose was just to ask the question of, you know, based on the recommendations, to what extent would CRISP provide some of the solutions? I don't know who was on the call that was held. such fast schedule?
Yeah, I was on through some of the call. I know Steve was on as well. I don't know if that specific point was addressed. Was it, Steve?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the specific point?
Whether Chris would be capable of implementing a regime like we've described.
Well, I don't think you could. I don't know that got resolved on that call, because I don't think we have even the specifics of what the system would be. We have some very general principles. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, Jordan, the purpose of my question about other issues was really to ask about the feasibility of implementing a solution. So, what the cost would be if we're talking about having to develop from a ground start, or if there's a standard that's already emerging that's going to be adopted by the registry that will address other needs that might meet some of these needs. And that was the purpose in asking the question.
So do you think, Marilyn, that's already captured by the additional questions in Section 3.5?
Jordan, could I suggest maybe we want to add there a specific question of how, if at all, would the implementation of CRISP facilitate the implementation of such a system?
How and whether. And I'm happy to email you a question, Jordan.
Sure. Why don't you do that, and I'll strike Section 4 and add another question to 3.5.
Okay.
So then I just want to jump briefly to 6.2, the revised text that Barbara had forwarded to the list today. Steve had suggested a couple more links be added to that, which seem reasonable.
Jordan, could I also raise a question about 6.1 after we're done with...
Sure. Actually, why don't we go to 6.1 first?
Not sure why two comments that were received a long time ago are quoted verbatim here, and I'm just not sure whether we're intending to give them a lot of high profile, or whether we could just put in a link to them and have a summary or what, because if we're going to put these comments in verbatim, then we had, we did have 10 or 15 submissions on the substantive issues. Why don't we put those in verbatim? And I just think at that point the report becomes kind of ungainly. So I guess I would suggest that on 6.1 we just put it, just say, have that opening paragraph and put in a link.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, the only reason I included them verbatim here is that is the approach we took with public comments in the deletes task force, and I was being lazy about thinking about to what extent it might be appropriate to apply new policies or not. I think you're probably right that it's more consistent with the approach that we've taken throughout the rest of the report to summarize and include links than to quote the entire text. So I will edit thusly. Okay. Any other comments on 6.1? 6.2, any comments on Barbara's revised text? Okay. So that is it, I think, unless anyone else has comments on the broad report in general, or any other sections that we skipped over or you forgot to talk about.
I forgot I was on mute. Am I with the task force now?
Yes, you are.
Can we include a link to Tunisia after a review of the Montreal WHOIS workshops, a link to the Tunisia workshops?
Yes, we can. Okay. So let me, I mentioned last week that I wanted to try to do a straw poll here to see if we're likely going to need to break this out into votes on individual sections. do people feel like we're at the point now that assuming the edits we make based on assuming we that the edits we make based on today's conversation are fairly agreeable, are you at the point that you're ready to be able to support the report in its entirety as opposed to needing to vote on some individual recommendations one way or the other? And actually, I'm going to do a roll call on this just to see where we stand. Kathy?
I have to go first?
You have to go first.
I think so, but I have to issue the disclaimer that I have to talk to the chair of the non-commercial constituency.
Understood, and this is a straw poll. It's not binding.
So the answer is yes.
Maggie?
I vote no as well.
Okay. Good. Steve?
I think that we may be able to do that. We'll have to consult. And I guess one question is, if we were to break out the recommendations, of which there are four. I mean, there's five, but one of them says no recommendation.
Right.
So there's really four, and I wonder whether it wouldn't be that difficult to just bring out all four separately. I don't know. Do you think that would create a problem?
Yeah, intrinsically I don't have a problem with having separate votes on all of them, and I may actually prepare whatever we use for voting to make that possible. I just think in terms of describing the vote and so forth, it's a lot simpler if it's this report and its recommendations were adopted by the task force as opposed to, you know, section this was, I mean, sometimes it's required.
I agree. That would be ideal. If we
yeah. And so I have no, you know, if you come back tomorrow or, you know, if at any point prior to we start voting, or even during the process of voting, people change their minds. I understand that it may be required, but I'm just trying to get a sense of how likely that is. I'd rather get to the point we could vote this up or down one way or the other. Marilyn, have we lost Marilyn? Maybe. David.
Yes.
Okay, that's easy enough. And we don't have Tom today. Thomas, I don't. It's not 100% clear whether you guys get to vote or not. But what do you think?
Thomas? Let me say, my advice would be to have a vote.
That you, that ALAC gets a vote, or that we vote on the entirety.
No, my advice would be that the task force have a vote, and I don't think I should say more than that.
Okay. So you think that we should vote on the substance on the report as a whole? Is that what you're saying?
Actually, I'm not sure. Well, we could give a try to a vote on the whole. And if that works out, it's fine. If it doesn't work out, we can still have a vote on the part. So I don't see that as a critical question.
Right. Well, I guess the question I'm asking is, in its current state, do you think that if you were to vote, that the that you'd be able to vote for the entire report, or would you have to vote on individual components?
Well, if the conclusion only makes sense if the condition is fulfilled, probably we could say something on the entire report, but as I said, if the condition was fulfilled, which is not at all clear.
Understood. Okay, so let me actually raise this question. I think, and I'll allow people to vote, and then unfortunately I think we've lost Barbara, as to whether the ALAC gets to vote in the task force or not. Bylaws, I believe, are silent on this point.
Well, from a perspective of reading the bylaws, it probably makes sense that we give in our role as an advisory committee give an advice on what we believe should the outcome should be, that the constituencies consider that advice. But it would make little sense for ALEC, for instance, to be a swing vote on a task force level and then not have a vote on the council level. Of course, that brings up another question. The constituencies get to vote with the same weight they have on the council, or do they get equal votes on task force? I think the bylaws are silent on that as well. So,
yeah, I agree. The voting and the procedures within task forces are not very clear compared to what happens at the council level. I don't think we've had any guidance from ICANN staff as to how to resolve that. Let me propose this and see if it seems reasonable to everyone with regards to ALEC, that we allow ALEC to vote and we record their vote. However, for purposes of determining majority or consensus, it doesn't count. So it's recorded as a vote, but it's not counted as a vote, I guess. Does that make sense? So we say ALEC voted yes or no, but then when we say either it's approved by supermajority or majority, their vote doesn't count.
Georgia, it's Marilyn. I'm sorry, it's so noisy. I don't think we can make the rule. There has to be a rule in relation to all the task forces in relation to the vote along the questions that Thomas asked. We can't make it up task force by task force. So I would say, you know, we need to get that clarified, both in terms of is it one group, one vote, or do certain constituencies have more than one vote? We need to ask that question. My understanding on the task force is it was intended to be one, but we need to ask that, and then we need to get the determination across all the task forces.
Yeah, I think actually I raised this question with the staff a long time ago, and it hasn't yet, an answer has not yet been forthcoming. I'll be glad to go back to Barbara over the next day or two, but we may not get a response back from staff prior to when the report is due, unfortunately.
In that case, Jordan, the best course of action, record statements and not even do a tally, to just say constituencies or representatives and representatives from Y constituencies voted like this and representatives from Z constituencies voted like this, and we got additional advice from ALEC, from, for instance, also council members or votes from council members nominated by the nominating committee in the following sense, really to just record the statements and leave it to council to determine whether or not this is a supermajority, a simple majority, and how this should be counted.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how the votes take place, we may have to, and what advice we receive, we may have to do something like that. But ideally speaking, everyone will be happy with the report, and we'll vote yes for the whole report, and there will be unanimity regardless of whose votes we include, but I don't know if that will happen. And I think that approach that Thomas has suggested seems reasonable, absent advice from ICANN, which I will solicit right now.
I'm sorry, Joyce, you are asking Bruce as the chair of council as well as the ICANN chair, right?
Yeah, I'll be glad to ask council as well. That unfortunately, Marilyn, is makes it almost. We certainly won't receive a response from council prior to the report being due.
So with Thomas's suggestion, we maybe can move the issue along as quickly as possible for all the task forces.
Yeah, agreed. So we will have everyone vote, and we'll probably record them, and whether or not it's counted will be determined externally. Okay, so. Any other topics of discussion? I'm going to wrap the call up otherwise. So if I think just in terms of next steps, Maggie, Marilyn, and Steve all owe me some sort of – well, actually, that's not true. Marilyn and Maggie owe me something on 2.5. Steve owes me something on 2.4. Marilyn, you owe me a couple sentences in a couple of places. And Kathy, you owe me a revised paragraph in 2.5.
2.4, I think.
Sorry, 2.4, yeah, in the lead-in. And all of that is due today.
Last question. In the appendices, Jordan, can we, I mentioned this a long time ago, is it possible to put the questions in front of the responses so that people know kind of what the questionnaires were, what those questions were that were addressed by, you know, the first set of data, team one, the second set of data, third set of data? I think it might help people parse all that material in the appendix.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hopefully I'll have time to do that. I've made a note of it.
Okay. May not be for this round.
Yeah, exactly. Any other comments? Okay, so I'll look for emails from a bunch of people today. I'll get a report out tonight, and we can have further discussion on list to refine text tomorrow, and we'll start voting on Wednesday. Thanks, everyone.